Good morning and welcome again to the program. We're glad to have you listening today, and we appreciate so much your joining us. And we're thrilled that you're able to study with us today from the Word of God. We hope that you have your Bible ready, because we're going to be ending our study this week of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And we want to go straight to the Word of God, straight to the Scriptures this morning. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew's account of this event is the longest one that you'll read. And you find different details in Matthew, Mark, and Luke about blaspheming the Holy Spirit. But when we put all of these records together, then we get a full and a complete picture of what God wants us to see about this. Now, the events are these. Jesus cast a demon out of a man. When he cast that demon out, there were scribes and Pharisees there that said that Jesus had done this miracle by the power of Satan himself. Now, when Jesus responded to them, he pointed out that he was actually casting out demons by the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's only one verse in the Bible that really specifically says that. That is Matthew chapter 12, verse 28. He said that he was casting out demons by the Spirit of God. And so when the scribes and Pharisees said that Jesus was casting out devils by the power of Satan himself, they were giving the glory and the power and the credit that belonged to the Holy Spirit to the devil himself. Jesus said that is blasphemy. And it's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is the one who gave the power to cast this demon out. So when you read Mark's account, the Bible says that after Jesus said in Mark 3, verse 29, "But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost has never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation," the Bible says immediately after that now, in Mark chapter 3, verse 30, here's your explanation, "Because they said he has an unclean spirit." The Bible shows us here that the reason Jesus called this blaspheming the Holy Spirit was because of what they said when they said that Jesus had cast out a demon by the power of Beelzebub or Satan. But this is where we have to remember Matthew's account also, because in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, after Jesus had pointed out that they were blaspheming, and the word blasphemy means to speak evil of, it means to speak against, Jesus pointed out in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So if we're going to look at the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, we've got to look underneath the words. We've got to see more than just what they said. We've got to look at the condition of these people's heart. And the condition of their heart was that they were so hardened in sin. They were so cold and they were so calloused that you couldn't reach them. Nothing that Jesus could say, nothing that Jesus ever did could get through to these people because they were so hardened in their hearts, they were beyond the point of repentance. And I believe that that is the key to understanding what we're talking about here concerning blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Now remember, folks, Jesus doesn't say here that anytime somebody blasphemes, that he can never be forgiven. Because the Bible plainly shows us in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, that before Paul was baptized, before the Apostle Paul was converted, he said that he was a blasphemer. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. But he goes on to say that he was forgiven. So it's not just blasphemy that the Bible is talking about here. And it's not just sinning against the Holy Spirit. There are different ways that the Bible says that we can sin against the Holy Spirit, but that's not necessarily the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 4, verse 30, the Bible says, "And grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." So the Bible says, don't grieve the Spirit of God. There are different ways that people can sin against the Holy Spirit, but this particular sin is the kind of sin that Jesus was talking about, where he cast out a devil, and these people said that he was doing that by the power of the devil, when in fact he was doing it by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit that Jesus is talking about. Now, I want to give you a couple of other verses here, a couple of other passages that talk about how hardened of heart people can become. And in fact, these other passages show that a man can reach the point where he can't turn his life around. He has gone beyond the point of being able to repent. In John chapter 12, beginning in verse 37. Now, I want you to notice how similar this is to the case of Jesus casting a demon out of a man and then what the Pharisees said about him. In John chapter 12, beginning in verse 37, the Bible says, "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him." Now think, folks, about how serious that is. These people that are being talked about here saw many of Jesus' miracles. They saw Jesus' miracles, but they still would not believe on him. You know, there are people today that think that if they could just see a miracle, that they would believe automatically. And the Bible shows that there were several people that saw the miracles of Jesus and the miracles of the apostles, but they refused to believe. They refused to repent. These particular people here, the Bible says in verse 39 of John chapter 12, now I want you to watch the wording here very carefully. John 12, verse 39, the same people that he's just talked about who saw the miracles of Jesus, but they would not believe on him. John 12, verse 39, "Therefore they could not believe because that Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them." Now John says that these people in John 12, verse 39, they could not believe. Why? Because the next verse says that their heart was so hardened that they were not able to believe. Even though they had seen all of these miracles, it still did not bring them to the point where they would accept these miracles and believe on Jesus Christ. So can a man reach the point that we're talking about? Absolutely. John 12, 37 through 40 shows that those people reached that point. Let's look at another passage in Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, the writer talks about how that we ought to go on to completion. We ought to grow in the faith. We ought not to remain on the level of babes, but we ought to mature in Christ. And so he discusses that in verses 1 through 3. Then he says this, beginning in verse 4, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come." Now let me stop right there. He's not finished yet. But I want to ask a question here. Are the people that he is describing here Christians? Well, of course they are. These are people who have been enlightened. They've tasted of the heavenly gift. They were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. They have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Have they become Christians? Have they been saved from their sins? Obviously, he's talking about Christian people here in verses 4 and 5. Now, what does he say is impossible about these people, these particular people now that he's describing? He says, it is impossible in verse 4, now go down to verse 6, if they shall fall away to renew them again unto repentance. Now, what you might be prone to do here, if you've never read this before, is to say, well, he seems to be saying there that if a Christian ever falls away, that he can't come back. He is not talking about any and every case of a Christian falling away. That's very important. Let me repeat that. He is not just talking about any and all Christians who fall away. He is talking about a particular group of Christians, a particular set of Christians who have fallen away. Now, who are they? Well, you have to read the last part of verse 6. He says, "Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." Now, what was the mindset of these Christians? Remember, these are not atheists here. These are not people who know nothing about the gospel of Jesus Christ. These are former church members. These are Christians who have turned their back on Jesus Christ. Now, what is their mindset, and why is it that you can never get them to repent? Because he said, they have gone so far, they have hardened their hearts so badly, that he says they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh or again. Now what that means is this, folks. They have the same mindset. They have the same evil soul that the people had when Jesus was about to be crucified, and they cried out, crucify him, crucify him. Now you remember, that's what you read in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, that the Jews cried out, crucify him. They told Pilate that. Well, we're looking here, years later, in the book of Hebrews. Jesus has long since ascended up into heaven. And these former church members, these people who had accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ, they had confessed Jesus Christ, many of them had been persecuted, and they had withstood persecution because they were Christians. They had sat in church buildings and sang praises to God. They talked about their love for Jesus Christ, but now they have turned against him. And they are such enemies of Jesus Christ that the writer says that if they had to do it over again, they would be there in that mob saying, crucify him, crucify him. They hate Jesus Christ that badly. And not only that, he says that they put him, that is, they put Jesus to an open shame. They publicly ridicule Jesus Christ. They publicly put down the church and everything that Jesus died for. So they don't keep this as a private opinion. They don't keep this to themselves. They want everybody to know that they hate Jesus Christ, that they are no longer Christians, and that they're going to do everything that they can to put an end to the church of the living God and to get rid of the gospel of Christ, the story about Jesus Christ. Now that's how hardened they were. And they are hardened to the point that the Bible says it is impossible to renew them again to repentance. It's impossible to get them to repent again. So now what I want to do is to put these three passages together. In John chapter 12, the Bible says that these people saw miracles, but they could not believe because their heart was too hardened. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, the Bible says that these former Christians turned against Jesus, and they were so hardened in their heart that they could not repent. And in Matthew chapter 12, Mark 3, and in Luke chapter 11, what we find is that the people were so hardened in their heart that they could not be forgiven. So can a man reach this point today where he is so hardened in his heart that he cannot believe and repent and obey God? Can his soul, can his conscience become that calloused? I believe that it can. I don't believe that he has to see a miracle today and refuse and reject that miracle in order to reach this point that we're talking about. There are too many other verses in the Bible that talk about reaching the point of no return. And folks, as we close today, let me read again from Hebrews chapter 3. In verse 7, the Bible says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Thank you for tuning in today. It's been a joy to study with you, and we hope that you have a great rest of the day.